It's our weekly chat, Crease Lightning, with Kevin Woodley from NHL.com and In Goal Magazine. Woodley, how you doing?
I'm doing good. A busy day doing nothing here in Vancouver, which actually probably becomes a bigger story than if the Canucks had actually moved one of their unrestricted free agents to be.
Yes, I know a lot of, like, Jim Benning, I was a little perplexed that he didn't move Rabada. Like, hey, Dan Hamius has a no-move clause. I get why he exercises it, and Dallas and Chicago were the two options he said he'd be going to, and obviously they couldn't pull a deal, but I'm surprised Rabada and those other guys didn't move. But I want to talk goaltending. First of all, the Edmonton owners, Lauren Brossoit, re-signs a two-year contract extension. He is developing on a fairly consistent and good goaltending development path right now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think last time we talked about Laurent, there was no rush. And I guess the question I had for you, and I apologize, I wasn't able to research this yet. Did he require waivers next season?
No, he does not.
Yeah. So I mean, the only part of this that leaves you scratching your head in any way, shape, or form is, I mean, if he's ready, I guess he's ready. But ideally, you want to have three options. And so unless you know you're at a point where you're going to turn off that prospect or he can't develop any more in the American Hockey League, it really is nice. Your perfect world is to have a number one, a guy who can play regularly, an experienced backup who can handle not playing all the time, and then a kid like Laurent in the minors who, if the number one goes down for injury, can come in and carry a workload. Like, I mean, not all backups can be a 10-straight start guy, but a guy like Laurent can. And so in a perfect world, you want to have one of those ready to come up. And so if you can delay that decision, most teams will tell you they like to delay it as long as they can. But like I said, other factors like turning off a prospect when he is ready play into that, and obviously they feel he is, and they gave him the one-way contract and, you know, a chance to be the guy up there. And the challenge now for goalie coach Dustin Schwartz is to make sure he continues to develop without playing all the time. And that can be a tricky balance because there are different mindsets towards being the guy and being the backup, and not everyone can handle playing every 2 weeks. It's a different job description, and so it can be tough to kind of find that balance with a young goalie in terms of, hey, you're not going to play all the time, but we need to somehow continue to develop you. Now, the Canucks, I've gotten to see a perfect example here. They've managed to find that balance with Schneider, with Lack, and now with Markstrom. And a lot of it is the work that Rolly Melanson does on after game day skates, before practice, after practice, creating game-type situation drills that allow those guys to continue to do the right work to get better even when they're not playing. So that's the challenge for the Oilers. I mean, all the signs point to him being ready. And so if you're going to give him that opportunity, you just got to make sure that even if he's not going to play a lot, you don't stagnate his development.
And from all the goalies you've talked to, and there's no perfect guaranteed path for everybody, right? But it's going to be the fine balance for the Oilers next year. Is it better for Brossoit to, and not be, because NHL teams don't practice that much anymore with travel and everything, especially in Edmonton, right? Like, they have a lot of optional days. And yes, he would get to work with his goalie coach and work on some things. But really, Kevin, the best way to get better is by playing, right? And so I think that's going to be the balancing act for the Oilers next year. Is Brossoit better off to be here playing 20 to 25 games and practicing, or better off to be playing 55 to 60 in the American League?
Well, yeah, and it's not just practicing. It's how you practice. The reality is, your typical NHL practice in terms of everybody out there doing the line rushes and doing the drills actually is counterproductive for goalies. It's not just useless for goalies, but quite often it's actually harmful for goalies. It amazes me how many NHL teams still go out there and create practice situations that look nothing like game situations. And I mean, this isn't a secret in the goaltending fraternity. Goalies avoid shinny in the summer because you have to cheat to be able to make saves, and that builds bad habits. Yet the majority of NHL practices are structured so you have to do the same thing. You can actually build bad habits. So if you play it straight up on all those line rushes and all those drills, you end up getting lit up. If you don't want to get lit up in front of your coach because you're worried about when you're going to make your next start and you hope it's not 2 weeks from now, you have to cheat. And those are very real things for NHL goaltender. So it's not just your everyday practice they have to find a balance in. It's finding him the time before and after practice and making sure that the goalie coach, like Frode Melanson has done here with the Canucks, is doing drills that can actually make him better, as opposed to the day-to-day practice stuff that more often than not builds bad habits into goaltenders' games than it does good.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joins us. Kevin, were you surprised no other goalies other than Reimer really moved here? Some teams maybe looking for some depth but didn't see it happen.
Yeah, obviously we saw Nilsson go to St. Louis, and he should benefit from the structure in front of him. His size will help him more there because they are a better defensively structured team. And to me, that was a move that tells me Brian Elliott's going to be back with time to get back on track before the playoffs. Because I think if there's a risk that Elliott's out long term, like into the start of the playoffs, you may have seen a bigger move there. I wondered if we might see the Panthers make a move. If you saw the hit that Al Montoya took in the head in the crease the other day, and Al's a guy who has struggled with concussions before, has lost chunks of seasons, even chunks of seasons that he came back and played, where he admitted to me later he couldn't track the puck, he couldn't concentrate. I mean, he just was not the same. Concussions are brutal for goaltenders. Obviously, they feel they called up Mike McKenna today, but obviously they feel he's going to be okay, or I thought they might make a move today to get Luongo another backup option. Other than that, there's just not a lot of need, right? San Jose clearly had a need at backup because of Stalock struggles. But beyond that, your needs are next summer, right? Calgary Flames don't need a goalie right now. They need a goalie in the summer. And Toronto Maple Leafs will need a goalie in the summer. Those are decisions that happen later. I think, we've talked about it before. Frederik Andersen was available this year. The asking price was high. The feeling is he will be available again this summer, and that because there isn't as much demand for goaltenders, because there is sort of a flood of goalies on the market, the asking price has to come down, and that will be where you see teams like the Flames try and find their solution in net for next season and beyond.
Yeah, the one thing, Kev, you and I will disagree on is I don't buy that Nielsen's struggles have anything to do with structure. Look at Cam Talbot's numbers behind the exact same defense since December. It's really night and day. Like, when you're an .843 save percentage, like, that's – I think it's a cop-out to say it's a defensive structure because Cam Talbot's been, like, .930.
Yeah, and it's not entirely on that. Obviously, there's other factors in there. But this is the positive for the Oilers this year. They found a legit number one, I believe, in Cam Talbot because he's been able to sort of find his game behind that. And that hasn't changed to me. I mean, there's a team that goes out and wins two games by a wide margin, has blowouts offensively, and then just completely abandons what they're supposed to be doing, where they're supposed to be on the right side of the puck. I mean, to me, that's the problem. Yes, they need a better defense, but when you talk to some of the coaches there about the habit defensively as an entire team, including your elite forwards in Edmonton, those are things they've been trying to change all season, and for a lot of guys, they just haven't changed enough. And yeah, it is a cop-out to say it's all defensive structure. It's not entirely that way. But when it breaks down as much as it does, I give Talbot credit for the way he's been able to stabilize behind it. And playing a neutral game's helped him. He's not chasing position. He's trying to trust what's happening in front of him. But it's been a disaster for goaltenders there for a long time, and you've got a guy now that can stabilize it, and the key now is stabilizing things in front of him because it has not – it's been better this year, but only marginally and with no consistency from game to game.
Looking down the stretch now, as you see, is there a team – that, I remember you talking earlier about Brian Elliott and how did the Blues derail him. Unfortunately, he got derailed due to injury. But is there a team whose goaltending concerns you heading into the postseason?
Oh, good question. Dallas still. I've always been a huge Carey Lehtinen guy, but, between the two of them, it's been better with Niemi there, but I don't know that it's necessarily been solved. So, there's a team that improved, I guess, on the back end with Russell today. A team that still relies more on the offensive, what they do offensively than what they do defensively. And I'm not sure that in the Western Conference they have goaltending that can get through the powerhouses. I think that Anaheim is capable of when Andersen is playing well. I think that obviously Quick has shown what he can do, and there shouldn't be that many questions left about Corey Crawford. But Dallas has one of those sort of ability to be one of those top four teams. As good as I've seen Lettinen be, the way they're playing right now, I don't have complete faith in them.
Yeah, no, and that's fair, because that was the exact team for me. And I, you know, I look at Dallas and I see kind of how they've played recently. That's the team that, you know, if I had to pick right now a team that I think loses out in the first round, I might lean towards Dallas because their goaltending does not encourage me. Although they're taking on St. Louis, and without Brian Elliott, you know, Kevin, there's a fair amount of questions about their goaltending.
Yeah, no, and actually, you know, I mean, you kind of prefaced the question talking about the Blues, and there's the other question mark for me. And, you know, I think you got to give Jake Allen a little bit of time because he was good earlier this season, and he hasn't been maybe great the last couple of nights, but he is coming off a significant absence due to injury, and you got to give him a little bit of time to see if he can recapture what he had early in the year. But yeah, it's like you said, they continuously undermine Brian Elliott. Every year when he plays well, they seem to always be looking for something else. And it looked like this might be the one year they're finally going to let him run with it, and he gets hurt. So they're right there with me. I guess it kind of proves that age-old adage that always used to make me cringe. But with both St. Louis and Dallas, if you've got two number ones, you know what they say, you don't have a number one. And well, maybe we have to begrudgingly admit that there might be some truth to that if those are the two teams we have our biggest concerns about.
Yeah, that's, you know what, some people love the rotation style. I think the only reason you rotate is because you don't have a clear number one, right? And that's now Anaheim's maybe the exception to that rule but injuries have played a part in that, and that's the team to watch as far as what they will do with their goaltending situation moving forward. Has it gotten any clearer for you, the goaltending pitcher in Anaheim?
I mean, in terms of on the ice from day to day, no. I like Freddie Anderson's game more. I think it's going to be a more consistent game than what you're going to get out of John Gibson. There'll be more ups and downs with Gibson. It's pretty clear to me they like the upside of Gibson more long term. And, you know, again, is the picture clear in terms of who's going to lead them on a potential playoff run? No. Is the picture clear in terms of who's going to be the number one moving forward? Yeah, I'm pretty sure that it's John Gibson, that Freddie Anderson will be the goaltender moved out. And wouldn't be surprised at all if it's as early as this summer.
And that's, you know, because it is rare for an organization to have two young goalies who, depending on who you talk to, some people like Gibson more, some people like Anderson more. There's kind of a risk there in Anaheim to ensure you don't do what Toronto did many years ago with Tuukka Rask and Foegele.
Absolutely. And that's why you better, you know, you better have a pretty good handle on it internally. And that's what would scare me, I guess, about Freddie Anderson. If I'm the Ducks, about trading him, and what I like about Freddie Anderson personally, this kid is never done looking for ways to get better. He's not complacent. He's not satisfied. He's got that huge frame. He's worked really hard to make sure that it's, you know, that it's durable enough to get through a season physically. He's always looking for edges. We talk about head trajectory. As soon as he hears about it, he phones and, you know, learns more about it. And goes to Halifax to work with the guy late in the summer. I mean, there are guys, you know, I'd like to pretend that everyone in the NHL worked that hard or had that much awareness and desire to continually improve and get better, but it'd be a lie. There are a lot of guys that just, you know, if the goalie coach tells them something, okay, maybe, and maybe I'll work on that. There is complacency at the NHL level. More of it than, you know, it shocks me sometimes how much of it. Both from a, you know, physical conditioning in terms of working on their game. So when I see a guy that takes the steps that he takes and see the physical tools and the skills that are obvious when you break down tape on him and see the desire to improve all the other aspects that may be lacking, you know, I look at a guy who has really good potential long-term. And if I was the Ducks, I'd be scared of moving on from that. I'd certainly be scared of moving on from that unless I was 100% confident that John Gibson really can be that guy. And Gibson, it's sort of the mentality. He just, you know, unflappable, things like that that we hear. I mean, he's a terrible quote. He's horrible to talk to in the locker room, but he just sort of, nothing seems to bug him. And so that's a little more of an intangible. With Freddie, there are more things that I can see and sort of quantify that make me like him. And I guess that's the tough call for the Ducks. Which one do you value more, the intangibles or the things that are right there in front of you?
One last one for you. Okay, I'm sure you've talked to a lot of goalies around the league. There are teams that are in really good, comfortable positions heading in. Where do they stand on rest, you know, leading up to the playoffs? Because it becomes a major grind. I'm Brandon Holtby, for instance, in Washington. Now I know that he's on pace to maybe go after Marty Brodeur's record, so I understand all that. But if you're the Washington Capitals, a team who has actually a lot of games down the stretch, more than most because they played fewer games thus far, how do you balance the rest ratio from goalies you've talked to? How much does that play into their psyche and mindset heading into the postseason?
I think it's all on the individual. There are times when guys just want to play, and you have to know better than them. Hopefully you know them better than, you know, well enough to know when to kind of help them when they're not helping themselves, so to speak. And in Holtby's case, that's the really tough part of this one. I mean, I understand that, you know, social media and articles. I mean, I saw someone the other day that is still comparing his season to Carey Price last year. Well, take a closer look. Like, forget the Hart Trophy discussion I saw the other day. The Vezina is no longer a slam dunk. His numbers are down near career average at .924. I think he's about 10th in the league in save percentage. His first half is not being matched by his second half. I believe I saw a number that his save percentage since January 1st is .901. And when you see how much he's played, your knee-jerk reaction would be, we need to get this guy more rest, because clearly, to hell with Marty's records, you need Braden Holtby at the peak of his game going into the playoffs. The challenge there is, I remember we talked earlier about Holtby and workload and how not being busy was something they thought he was going to struggle with in terms of how many shots he saw.
Yeah.
Well, he's a guy that likes to work all the time. Like, so the challenge there is they want to get him rest, but Braden doesn't feel comfortable with his game unless he is on the ice every game day skate, playing on a regular basis, really does rely on rhythm. And so that's a riddle that goalie coach Mitch Korn is going to have to solve here in the next little while. Do you give him a break now and then ramp him up for the playoffs by letting him play a lot? But whatever answer they decide, I think there are questions that need to be asked, and they better come up with the right decision, because, you know, again, the perception of his season no longer matches the reality. He wouldn't be on the top of my Vezina list at this point, and you're talking to a guy who obviously has raved about his game all season.
Interesting. As always, Kevin, love talking to you. Next week, we'll probably have a better picture on goalies and see how Reimer fits into San Jose and much more. Thanks for your time.
Sounds good. We got James here tomorrow, and we'll catch up on that.